I am especially humbled by all of our special guests who are here today. Before the service, Jim Lieberth came up to me and he said, "Man, there sure are a lot of people here today. It better be a good one." So we better pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day of worship. And Lord, we just ask you to allow ourselves to open ourselves up to hear your word, to hear the Holy Spirit speak. May it be your words that are heard and not mine. And this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this week we start a new sermon series called Living Witnesses. Starting in the new year, my goal has been to prepare you to be this, fishers of men. From the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus told his followers that he would make them fishers of men. And then at the end of his ministry, before he ascended into heaven, he gave them the great commission to go and make disciples of the world. And this call and this mission was not just for his disciples of that day. This mission is a call for all Christians. There are people who go door to door trying to sell their faith, the same way a person may go door to door selling vacuums or encyclopedias. Some of you may be too young to remember door-to-door salesmen. It is from these kinds of people that we get the phrase, getting your foot in the door. I don't know about you, but there's nothing more annoying than getting a knock on your door Saturday afternoon when you're not dressed, you're sweaty, you're doing housework, and somebody shows up to try to sell you something. Everything from tree services to insect treatments to new windows to roofing and so much more. And you see, these people want to sell you a product or a service. They want to know if you already have that service. Well, how much do you pay for that service? And are you willing to sign up for a never-ending billing cycle for something you weren't even thinking about or planning to have done? And likewise, there are people who even go around selling their religion. Well, let me carefully say this. I respect those who are bold enough for their faith to go out and try this approach. And I'm not saying that this approach is completely wrong. But in all honesty, most of these people go door to door like they're selling vacuum cleaners or some other product. Let me make this clear. We are not vacuum cleaner salesmen. We are not selling a product. Because a person selling a product doesn't even have to believe in the product they're selling. A person selling the product doesn't even have to use the product. It's like when you go to buy a car, the person selling you a Chevy may be driving a Ford. They don't care what they have to say, they just want to get the sale. And some people treat religion that way. I don't care what I have to tell you, scare you, or persuade you, I'm going to get the sale. I don't think we should go out and peddle Jesus like he is some kind of wonder product. We should be walking, breathing, living witnesses to the transforming power of salvation in Jesus Christ. Our lives should be changed in such a way that the way we live speaks powerfully for Jesus. We shouldn't need to sell anyone on what it means to have a living faith. They should see our faith lived out in powerful ways. They should see that we are different. Because salvation in Christ makes us a new creation. It should transform us. It should change everything about the way we live. Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians 5. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. Most of the problem in Western Christianity is that we have our lives based on a worldly point of view. Our physical world is defined by our time and by our world and by the things around us. And we have to understand that in this physical world, in this body, we are limited. And our time in this world is limited. But when we live through Christ, when we live by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can realize a much more powerful state of being. And through a new life in Christ, we are no longer limited in time because we have an eternal nature because of God. And make no mistake, all of us have an eternity. Some will have an eternity of torment, while others will experience an eternity with God as His children. From Galatians 3. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Take that verse, stamp it somewhere important. It is only through faith that we are children of God. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. It is only through faith that we become children of God. And when we become children of God, we lose our earthly identity. We are not to carry our earthly labels such as our race, our nationality, our political party, or our economic identity. People should see us as children of God and not anything else. It was Jesus who said we needed to be born again. John chapter 1 says this, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. There it is again. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And later in John chapter 3, Jesus replied, verily, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Well, how can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Through salvation, it is the Holy Spirit that gives us our spiritual identity. 2 Peter says this, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And the Bible tells us again and again and again that salvation in Christ changes us. Through salvation, we belong to God. Through salvation, we belong to the Creator. And it is God who is the author of that salvation. And because of that, we have been freed from the bonds of sin. We are freed from our earthly identities. We have become children of God. And as children of God, we have the promises of eternal life. And we are called to be a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are called to be living witnesses. You see, this is our identity as Christians. Our faith should define how we live and who we belong to. That should be your identity. But many of us live like undercover superheroes. Every day we try to live as an ordinary person among ordinary people. Right? We try to be just like everybody else. And then when a crisis hits, we put on our prayer capes, we grab our Bibles, and suddenly we have prayers for people and special biblical wisdom to share. Da-da-da! But that's not how it's supposed to work. We are living witnesses. We live in this world, but we don't belong to this world. We are supposed to have supernatural powers from the Holy Spirit. And we are to live out our Christian identity each and every day. But the real problem is that we want our own identity. We want to be self-made people. We want to be someone that the world adores. And we would rather live as Bruce Wayne, Clark Kent, Peter Parker, or Diana than to live as a fully empowered Christian. I mean, if I was Superman, I'd just walk around all day like, come on, bring it on, right? And we have the power of the Holy Spirit to be different. We need to lose our worldly identities and live out our Christian identity. I've shared many times parts of my life story and my call to ministry. I first came to faith in Jesus Christ as a very young boy. I think I was about 5 or 6 years old. And it wasn't long before I felt God call me to be a preacher. And my pastor at the time embraced my call. He would go out to the Christian store and buy me Christian comic books. He took me with him on hospital visits. He even let me preach my first sermons at the age of 12. But when you hit the teenage years, being a preacher is not a popular choice. You don't get any dates and you don't get invited to parties. And I let my faith identity change. And I became a strange mix in high school of a nerd and a jock. I was really good in math and science, but I was also pretty good in sports. On one hand, my grades were excellent. By my senior year, I was third in my class, and I didn't even try. I'll be honest with you, I didn't try. My senior year was full of academic accolades. I was awarded Math Student of the Year, Science Student of the Year, and many other awards. And if that was not nerdy enough, my classmates voted me the biggest brown noser of the senior class. I still have that award. On the other hand, I was also a bit of a jock. I started on offense, defense, and special teams for the football team. I was the captain of the wrestling team, and to this day, I still hold the school record for the quickest pin of 8 seconds. I took pride in both my academic and sports identity, and my faith identity took a back seat. Oh, sure, I pulled out my faith card when it worked to my advantage, but I began to pursue the identity I wanted for me and not the identity God wanted for me. While I was in high school, I joined the Army Reserves and went off to boot camp after graduation. I was also awarded scholarships to Miami University for engineering. And this was a dangerous mix for a young man because I came out of boot camp just a bit too prideful and I headed to a college campus full of pretty women. And again, I had a dual identity. My one identity was as a soldier. My other identity was supposed to be as an engineering student. But instead of being focused on my education at Miami, I discovered a powerful weapon called charm. Now, back then, I was a good-looking young man. I was in excellent shape, and I had a motorcycle. But what really set me apart was my charm. And I quickly found my charm was good for ungodly pursuits. And I chased a lot of women in college. And while at the time I thought I was big man on campus, I soon found myself struggling in school and being left completely empty by the shallow and broken relationships I had left in my wake. And about this time, two great things changed for me. One, I met my future wife, and I could no longer be the guy chasing all the other girls. And I was going to have to be different if I wanted a chance with a quality girl like Carla. And two, while I was in college, my dad had a series of strokes. While I was in high school, my dad had started an industrial coating business. I was one of the first three employees there. I worked for dad in high school and even into college just to make some extra money. This business was not my identity at the time. I never dreamed I was going to take over the business. But after my dad's strokes, he needed me to work full time. And it became quickly apparent that this was going to be my new identity. I became heavily involved in everything in the business, including sales. When I joined my dad full-time, we had a 5,000-square-foot facility with two shifts and one production line. And in less than 10 years, we grew the business to 40,000 square feet, six production lines, and a three-shift operation. At our peak capacity, we had over 30 employees. It seemed like my destiny was set. Now remember, at the same time, I also had this other identity as a soldier. In 2001, I was Staff Sergeant Meeker, and I was a squad leader, and I was very good at my job. And then 9/11 happened, and I was deployed away from the business, and during my deployment, sales plummeted, the business suffered immensely, and it was close to bankruptcy. And it became apparent that I could not have two identities anymore. And after 13 years of service, I gave up on my military identity so that I could focus on my business identity. And there were challenges as a business owner. And while we were doing that and preparing to have kids, I wasn't ready to hear God call me again as a pastor. Now, over a period of almost 20 years, God had been sending me reminders of what my identity was supposed to be. Time and time again, I kept choosing different identities. But none of them was the identity that God had chosen for me. Now, I never lost my faith in God. But I was living powerless. And I was not being who God had called me to be. And I finally heard the call. I finally answered the call, but I was not fully surrendered to the call. And God finally spoke to me and said, "You cannot be the owner of this company and serve me as a pastor." So after being in business with my dad for 28 years, I sold my interest to my business partner, which was essentially just enough money to get me out of debt. It wasn't until I was willing to give up my earthly identities that I began to experience what it meant to really experience what God could do inside me. For most of my life, I was attached to my worldly identities. I was guiding me. And while I was guiding things, I felt like I was in charge. And as a result, I was searching for my pleasure, my success, and I wasn't concerned about God's glory. I was concerned about my glory. But let me tell you something. When you embrace your identity as a child of God, when you embrace your call, it is life-changing. As I said before, on my own, I was powerless. On my own, I was weak. On my own, I was a very sinful man. But despite my sin, despite my disobedience, despite my sinful nature, God never stopped pursuing me. That, my friends, we consider prevenient grace. Or pursuing grace. The desire of God to stay after you and after you and after you till you surrender. In high school, I thought my identity was going to be in sports and self-made glory. In college, I thought my identity was going to be a very successful engineer. And at time in college, I thought my identity was going to be a ladies' man. There were times I thought my identity was going to be as a soldier. There were times I thought my identity was going to be a great and powerful businessman, a guy who rescued his company, put it on his shoulders, and made a great success. But God said, no. That's not who you are. That's not who I created you to be. Let go of your earthly identities and embrace the identity that I have for you. Speaking to the Israelites, God said in Jeremiah 29, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." God says he has a plan for his people. He wants us to seek him with all of our hearts. And as I answered his call, I began to understand that I was no accident. I was no just random person. I wasn't just one of several billion people. That God always had a purpose for me. In Psalm 139, the great psalmist wrote, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." And when I embraced who God made me to be, his grace began to fill me. His grace began to shape me. He empowered me to speak and to preach. He gave me strength to get an education. But more importantly, he took a worthless fool and redeemed me into a useful tool. When God returned his call to me, I had a lot of excuses. I said, "God, I'm not worthy." I said, "God, I'm not just a sinner. I'm a sinner's sinner. God, I ran from you. I disobeyed you. I failed my calling the first time. I'm too old. I'm too far gone. Too many other things are going on. I don't deserve this calling." But God said, "My grace is bigger than your mistakes." His grace was bigger than my mistakes. You have no idea how good it feels to surrender to God and embrace his identity that he has for you. And I'm not saying it's an easy task. because I have plenty of bumps and bruises and scars from the battles that I have faced and the battles that I still face. But when you walk under the great shepherd's guidance, you feel his presence. You feel his love. You get his assurance. You receive his strength and you receive his power. And when I am living out my real identity, my godly identity, God has affirmed me time and time again, saying, "This is who you are. This is who I made you to be." And as I live out who God has created me to be, he has used me to be a living witness for him. Because in this world, there are only two things you can do for Christ. You can either lead people closer to Christ, or you can lead people away from Christ. There is no in between. You're either leading people to God or leading people away from God. And I want you to think about this. God made only one you. From the time of your conception, you've had a unique DNA strand. You have unique fingerprints. You have a unique personality. You have unique abilities and experiences. In other words, God has knit you together. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God has a plan for each of you. And God's grace is bigger than all of your mistakes. God has a plan for you to be a living witness. But in order to do this, you need to receive God's grace. You need to embrace his love and claim your Christian identity. And it is only by faith in Jesus Christ that you receive your real identity as a child of God. It is only by faith that you allow the Holy Spirit to shape you into this living witness for God. Now, don't worry. God's not calling all of you to drop everything, go to seminary, and get one of these fancy stoles. God does not call us all to the same roles. God does not give us all the same gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, he says, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. The God that has called me is the same God that is calling you." And he says in verse 7, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given to the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, but he distributes them to each one just as he determines." And in that passage, Paul goes on to say that as a church, we're like a body. We're made up of all different parts. We all have different functions, but all of them work together. And you need to understand that you are wonderfully made. There is only one you. You are a powerful, living witness for God. And when we come together as a body, when we work together, we become even more powerful. And together, as his church, as his living witnesses, we have the power to change the world. But it all starts with you. Are you willing to give up your earthly identity and embrace your faith identity? Are you ready to experience what it is to live out your life as God's child? Are you ready for the power that comes through the Holy Spirit? If we want to see God do great things, it will be through us that He does great things. Sometimes we pray incorrectly. Hey, God, will you do something about this problem we have? Instead, we should be saying, God, empower us to do something about that problem. God's message to us is the same as the words that He spoke for the nation of Israel. For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Some of you might think you're too old. Wrong. Moses was in his 80s. Abraham was in his 90s. Anybody got that one topped? And maybe you think you're too young. Wrong. David was a shepherd boy when he defeated Goliath. The prophet Samuel heard God's voice as a very young boy. Each and every day, our lives are a living witness. And you have a choice. You can continue to keep your identity hidden. You can choose to embrace your worldly identity. And you can lead people away from Christ. Or you have a choice today. You can embrace your identity as a child of God. You can become a living witness and empowered by the Holy Spirit to lead people to Christ. The question is, how will you choose to live? I pray that this week you will be open to hear God speak to you. And you will choose to live differently because of that. There's not a person in here who doesn't have the power to lead others to Christ. We all have the power to lead people away from Christ. We keep seeking answers in all the wrong places. There's no worldly power that has the power that God has. There's no worldly power that can change people for the good. There's no worldly power that can give people eternal life. There is only one way, and that is God's way. What will you choose? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we sit here today, I'm humbled and grateful for all who have come today to hear. But Lord, I hope they didn't hear me. Lord, I hope they heard your call. Lord, may we be a people that surrender our earthly identities. And may we embrace our identities as your children, a people that are dearly loved, that are full of grace and mercy, people that are willing to share your love and your light. people who live by the power of your Holy Spirit in such a way that we influence others to seek that same power for themselves. Lord, may we become living witnesses for you. This we pray in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. People, we need a revival in this community. I hate to say it, but we need revival in this church. We have to embrace the identity that God made us to be. And he gave us a great commission to go and be fishers of men. And how can we lead people to Christ if all we do is go and live like everybody else lives? We have to live differently. We have to embrace that identity that he has called us to be. And over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about that identity as a living witness. What are our characteristics? What should we look like? How should we be? And then we don't have to go sell a product. Because nobody wants to buy a vacuum cleaner anymore, right? Anybody want people showing up at your door? Do you know Jesus? Let me tell you and give you this piece of paper and this is how you do it. No, what they want to do is see genuine, authentic people living for Christ. They don't want to see hypocrites. They don't want to see people just full of talk, right? Because we all know salesmen who are full of talk, right? We call that something else. What they need to do is say, why are you different? Why are you living with MS differently? Because of your faith, right? Why do you go on mission trips to New Mexico and other places, Juanita? Why do you go? Because of God. Because of who God called you to be. No matter who you are, no matter what gift you have been given, God has called you to be a living witness. And I'll tell you, just like that song said, there's no greater joy than letting Jesus into your heart. You'll find no other peace or strength in this world than by living out your identity as a child of God. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be easy. But it changes everything. Let us pray as we leave here today. Lord, we are grateful for all of our friends who have gathered with us to worship. And Lord, we are thankful for the reception that we are about to have, and I'm just grateful for those who have organized it and prepared food for us today. And just bless our time of fellowship as we just continue to love on one another. But more importantly, Lord, today, may we wake up. May we hear your call. May we embrace our identity and become living witnesses for you. All of this we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of his Holy Spirit. Amen.